Welcome to God's Tabernacle Christian Family Church Where God Dwells podcast. Best believe that you'll be receiving the Word of God from our senior pastors, Drs. David and Louisa Muluzi. The Word of God says, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of God. Keep it locked and stay blessed.
Thank you much. You know, let's just give Dr. David and Dr. Louise a great big hand for what God has done in their lives for 25 years. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to hear some preaching this afternoon? So the title of my message to this afternoon is Speaking Life into a Hopeless Situation. So let's pray. Father, into your presence we come, dear sir, to praise and to worship and to adore you. We say this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you'll rise up big within me now, that you'll think through my mind and speak through my lips, and I declare I am a servant ready to be used by the Master. And I thank you, Father, I will declare your word boldly, fearlessly, effortlessly, carried by the wind of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for a fresh revelation, fresh anointing on your people. Thank you, Father, we are Christian Family Church. We are not only hearers of the word, but Father, we doers of the word, and therefore we have good success in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. If I turn my head, can you still hear me? Okay, because this is going to be a preach. Are you ready? So we serve a good God, right? God is good. God is merciful. God is just. God is loving. God is kind. God is our provider. God is our way maker. God is a supernatural God. God is a God of miracles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I've got good news for you this afternoon. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Praise God. He is our healer and he is our deliverer. I've got good news for you this afternoon that God is good. Despite the situation that you're facing today, God is still good. Too many of God's precious people give up. They quit. They get discouraged. Different circumstances come their way. Different trials come their way. Different mountains they face. And they look at the mountains. They look at the giants. They look at the trials. And they give up. They look at the storms and they give up. But I want to talk to a people today. You might be facing a hopeless situation. You might be facing a difficult circumstance. You might be facing a trial. You might be going through a storm today. But I've come with good news that God is your deliverer. God is your healer. And God is a way maker. And no matter how hopeless a situation may look like, God will make a way where there seems to be no way because he is Almighty God. I'm not sure what your boss has said to you, or what your children have said, or what the doctor has said to you. I'm not sure about your negative reports that have been given to you, but I do know that God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And so I want to talk to you today about one of my favorite portions of the Bible is in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 10. And it says, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. Everybody say bones. And he led me around among the bones that covered the valley floor. And they were scattered everywhere across the ground, and they were completely dried out. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say with your mouth. Dry bones, listen. Listen to what? Listen to the word of the Lord. Not listen to someone's opinion. Not listen to what someone thinks about a situation. Not what someone has experienced. Not what anyone has said. He says, you listen to the word of the Lord. And when he says you listen to the word, and he said this is what the sovereign Lord says. Sovereign means there's no other God that compare with our God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is Jesus our Lord. He's our King, and he's soon our soon coming King. Glory to God. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you, and I'm going to make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you. I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. As I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. And the bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscle and flesh formed over the bones. Then the skin formed to cover their bodies, but still they had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath. From the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet like a great army. So glory to God. Here we have a dialogue. We have a conversation between God and the Ezekiel and Ezekiel the prophet. And it's a case of the valley of the dry bones. I want you to use your imagination this afternoon and think about a valley filled with dry bones. They are white. They are bleached from the sun. I want you to picture the scene in your mind. Picture dead men's bleached bones everywhere. Keep in mind that when an army was defeated by a victorious army, they were stripped of their goods, they were stripped of their clothing, and they were just left to lie in the valley floor. They were left to lie there to rot. Then the birds of the field came and ate of the bodies. The beasts of the field came and ate their bodies. And after a while, all was left was dry bones, dead bones. And that is exactly what happened in the time of Ezekiel. So this is the image of the valley covered with bones. It's not just an abstract story, it actually happened in Ezekiel's time. There were valleys of dry bones where the slain armies had been overcome. So you could say for sure this was a field of death. This was a graveyard. This was a cemetery. But this was also a symbol of people whose hope had died. This is people who had been dead for a long time, but their situation with these people who were dead, there was no bright future. Their dreams were dead. They had no life, no bright future. They had no dreams. They had no joy. They had no plans. They had no hope because they were dead. And then the Lord says, Ezekiel, tell me, my son, can these dead bones with no life that have been on the floor, can they ever live again? And you know, Ezekiel said, God, honestly, I don't know. Only you know. I mean, what would we say to God? But he said, I don't know, but you know, oh God. So he looked at the bones. Ezekiel, he saw, listen, family, no human solution. That is a good place to be. Where there's no human solution, then God come in and take control and let his spirit come in and things will change. So glory to God. And so Ezekiel, number one, he hears from God. Then he receives instruction. The instruction was that he's got to start speaking. He's got to start prophesying. He's got to open his mouth. He's got to declare and decree the word of God into the graveyard. He could look at his situation and say, I wish it could change. I hope it can change. I wish someone would help me to make a change. I'm thinking about changing. No, he had to do something about it. He had to get up. He had to go to the situation. He had to open up his mouth. And then he started speaking to the situation that looks dead, looks hopeless, looks lifeless, no hope, no joy, no dreams, no future. And he says, I'm telling you right now, it ain't over. God is not finished with you yet. And I've come today to tell you, no matter what you're facing today, it ain't over. God is not finished with you yet. God has you on His mind. God wants to do something supernatural in your life. God wants to release miracles in your life. God wants you to have a turnaround in your life. God wants you to have the supernatural as a natural in your life. I speak over you. I speak over you right now. I speak prophetic word over you. I speak miracles over you. I speak financial breakthrough over you. I speak a turnaround in the name. I speak the supernatural miracles in your name. In the name of Jesus. I speak prosperity. I speak growth. I speak prosperity. I speak joy. I speak blessedness over you today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 So here we are. Ezekiel goes down to death itself. He looks at death and he says, "Death, I've got to tell you, it's time for you to get out of here. Death, I'm evicting you out of this valley. Death, I command you, go. You've got to go." And you know, when he began to speak, death had to get up and go. When you get up and speak to your situation, things are going to go. The death is going to go. The financial bondage is going to go. Your backslidden children is going to come home. Your husband is coming home. Your wife is coming home. Your children is coming home. Your miracles are on the way when you speak into the situation. Speak a word. Speak a word. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So God's word is so powerful, it's so potent, it's infused and pregnant with life. So when you speak God's word, oh my family, when we speak the word of God, we are speaking life. We're speaking power. We're speaking God. We're speaking potency. We're speaking supernatural. We're speaking miracles. When we speak the word, then miracles happen. But we must speak the word. Not what people tell you, not their opinions, not what happened to them, their mother, their father. It does not matter what happened to anyone. The only thing that matters is the word of God. Is the word of God. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So, transformation, restoration comes by two things. Number one, hearing the word. Number two, speaking the word. Got to hear the word and speak the word. Got to hear the word and speak the word. Got to hear the word and speak the word. We've got to hear God's word, and then it's got to come out of our mouths. So today you might say, Pastor Bev, honestly, the situation I'm facing, I just want to throw in the towel. I feel like the end is near. I feel like I've lost my way. I feel that many have counted me out. The enemy said that you've lost. The doctor says it's over. But I want you to know today, the chance for your victory might look impossible, but it is not. Your turnaround, your victory, your miracle, your breakthrough is here today in Jesus' name. Your breakthrough is here today in Jesus' name. Glory to God. So faith, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So I want to ask you today, whose report are you listening to? Whose report do you believe? Because if we're going to win, if we're going to be fruitful, if our marriages are going to come alive, if our children are going to excel in life, if we're going to do well in business, if we need a job, if we need to be healed, if we need guidance, if we need wisdom, it all comes from the Word of God. But we're going to take the word and then we're going to prophesy the word of God into our situation. We're going to decree the word. We're going to declare the word. And when we decree and declare the word, then there's a turnaround. Then there's a breakthrough. Then there's miracles and the supernatural takes place. So So here we are. We see that God says, Ezekiel, you got to preach to the dry bones. So notice when he preaches and he speaks and he declares the word of God in the valley of death, then in verse 7, they said, so I speak this message just as he told me. In other words, I speak the word of God over the dry bones, and then there's a suddenly. How many of you are waiting for a suddenly? A suddenly. How many of you need a suddenly in your life today? So we're going to have a suddenly today. Because when we speak the word of God, there's something's going to happen in the spiritual realm. There's a suddenly taking place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says suddenly, as I spoke, not as I thought, not as I was thinking about it, not as everyone telling me about it, listening to everyone's opinion about it. None of that helps. The only thing is when we help ourselves by speaking the word of God. We have to do it ourselves. We cannot run to the pastor and say, help me. They're going to tell you, speak the word of God. You've got to go home. You've got to speak the word of God. And then you're going to have your suddenly. So listen to this. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. I want you to imagine right now the valley of the dry bones, and there's a hip bone over there, there's a neck bone over there, and the arm bone over there, and the elbow over there. But when he starts speaking, okay, now they've got to find themselves. So there's chaos. Because when he speaks a life, hey, breath, come on. You've got to breathe into these people. Oh, here comes a bone. It's got to find its outer body over there. So here comes a foot bone. He's looking for the ankle bone. Then he's going to try, okay, I found the shin bone. Then he's going to find the thigh bone. Then he's got to hit the hip bone. Then the neck bone flies across. Hey, wait for me. I've got to come on my back bone. Then the head bone. And all across the valley, bones are flying around. Because they're looking for their body. But in the supernatural, when we speak into our problems, out of chaos comes order. Out of chaos comes order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. Listen, family, dry bones have ears to hear. Your mountains have ears to hear. Your storms have ears to hear. Your womb has ears to hear. Your marriage has ears to hear. Your children have ears to hear. Your baby has ears to hear. Your body has ears to hear. Your family has ears to hear. Every situation from the pit of hell has to listen to the word of God and move. Every situation from the pit of hell has to move out the way when you speak the word of God. They've got to move out the way because the power of God's coming into a situation. You're having a turnaround. You're having a breakthrough. You're having a miracle because the word of God is infused with power when you speak the word into your situation. Listen, family. Your situation awaits your instruction. Your situation awaits your direction. If we fail to give orders, our situation remains the same. A lot of people are in a lot of mess for a long time. Nothing changes because they don't speak to their situation. They cry about it. They wail about it. They weep about it. They talk about it. But we can't talk about it. We got to talk to it. You can't talk about it. You got to talk to it. As Apostle Theo says, don't talk about the mountain. Talk to the mountain. If you talk to the mountain will go. If you talk about it, the mountain will grow. Oh, thanks. Let me just have a little sip of water. It's hot up here. We've got to believe God for air conditioning. Does anyone say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay, so Corinthians 4:13 says, having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I've spoken. We believe, therefore we speak. It's so important that we speak the word of God. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She got exactly what she said with her mouth. She said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she was made whole. Do you remember the Old Testament? Joshua and Caleb, they said, let's go at once and take the promised land. But no, the 10 spies who went with them said, no, the giants are too big. They will overcome us. No, we should just rather die in the desert. Do you remember that? They said, we're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than us. And so the spies got what they said. If you look in Numbers 14:2, it says, would God we had just died in the desert. They all died in the wilderness. Because they said with their mouth, would God have we just died in the wilderness? God heard it and said, okay, fine. You want to die in the wilderness? Go ahead. Die in the wilderness. But only Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm holding on the word of God. God said we're going in. God said we're going to overcome. God said we're going to kill the giants. God said we're going to occupy. God said that's our territory. Wait, we're going to tell the devil, get out of my territory. Here I come. I'm moving into the territory that God has given me. Glory to God. We will never be able to possess what we are believing God for if we don't confess. We will never possess what we're believing God for if we don't speak it out of our mouths. If you say it, you will receive it. You might not get it instantly, but it's coming to you. Amen. God is a God of more than enough. The Holy Ghost that's in us is greater than every devil of hell. Jesus operated in dominating faith. He's looking for Christians today who will say, I'm going to operate in dominating faith. Matthew 8:26, then he arose. Jesus, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. He saw the storm, Jesus did, but then he rebuked the storm, he rebuked the waves, and there was a great calm. Jesus had dominating faith. He wants you and I to have dominating faith. He doesn't want us to be dominated by the devil. No, 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 no. You are a child of Almighty God. You're a child of the King. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You're the head. You're not the tail. You are meant to be above and not beneath. You're meant to rule and reign in this life by Christ Jesus. You're a ruler. You're a ruler. Jesus had dominating faith. He wants you to have dominating faith. Jesus said, all authority, all power, I give to my disciples. You are his disciples this morning, this afternoon. So God has given you all power. If God gives you all power, what's left? The witch doctors don't have power over your power. They are not, don't have power. Our power is a dominating power. Their power is counterfeit power, but when you operate in the name of Jesus, their power is null and void. I want to tell you this. In my one message called Deal with the Devil, there is a man in New York. When he was 8 years old, his mother took him to a tarot card reading. The lady who did the tarot card reading was a witch. And she told the mother, you need to give me $200 and then you need to take your son to go and be spiritually cleansed and baptized by the satanic cleansing, and then he won't go blind. So now, first of all, the witch wanted money. Number two, the witch put fear in the mother because the mother had no clue about the word. So the witch had dominating faith over this woman. So she took her son to have it spiritually cleansed by a Satanism. He went into Satanism and witchcraft at the age of 8. The devil became his father. Then, as he grew in the devil church, he was given powers. He said he loved the powers. Then, one of the powers he was given, listen up, he was given power to astral travel at night. And the witches do that. You know better than me. They astral travel at night. If you don't know, they can't a clue. Okay? They're traveling at night while we're sleeping. But listen what they do at night. They are given regions. See, one thing about the devil, although he's got no power because Jesus took it from him, he's organized. In his army, you're given regions. Now you're commanded to rule and reign over your region. So if they said, Dr. David, that every 3 months, if you belong to the Satanism and witchcraft, in America, every 3 months they want to evaluate how many souls have you won. I want to ask you, how many souls have you won in the last 3 months? We got to wake up. I tell you, we got to wake up, church. Wake up. We got to start ruling and reigning. So now he's given us power and he's ruling. He comes, he's given certain neighborhoods, districts. He's astral traveling at night. You know what he says? He stands at the gate of the neighborhood. He starts cursing it. He curses it with divorce. He curses it with robbery. He curses barrenness. He curses everything wicked thing you can think of. Rape, incest, burglars. He curses their money. He curses their marriages. He said he curses them with death and diseases. Many people died. Many people got diseases. Many people were cursed. They lived under his curse. He says the only region that he had no power was he went to a region and he would find women praying. Thank God for intercessors. We love our intercessors. So he would find the woman praying. And the woman would be praying for their neighborhood. Not just our house, us four and no more. When we start praying for our neighborhood, and they would pray and intercede and say, Father, no weapon formed against this neighborhood would prosper. The angels of God encamp around about this neighborhood. I thank you, Father, for protecting this neighborhood. He said when he went to neighborhoods where the women were praying, he had no power. No power. And then he started dating a girl. And this girl was a backslidden Christian. And he said, do not let your Christians go to nightclubs. He said, when Christians go to nightclubs, they think they're going to dance, but they're taking home a devil. He says, the devil is assigned to you for the rest of your life to curse you. He says, be careful. Don't go to nightclubs. Don't go to house parties because Satanists are there too. So nevertheless, he went forward one day to altar call. He went out with this girl. The parents said, if you want to go out with my child, you have to come for dinner. At dinner, they talk about Jesus. He thought they're crazy. Crazy, crazy. Jesus what? Jesus is. Jesus nothing. So they said, you got to come to church. He went to church. While he was at church, there was an altar call. He came down. But he grabbed the pastor by the neck. He wanted to throttle the pastor. He wanted to kill the pastor. And the big men came. And he threw them like rag dolls off until the church stood up, started worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, and using the name of Jesus. He said, then the devil left him. He said he was so confused. Who should I serve? What's going on? I've sold my soul to the devil. I'm a general in the devil's army. I've already taken 400 Christians out of the Christian kingdom and made them Satanists. He said, I've climbed the ranks. I astral travel. I can go to hospitals and curse people and they die. And he said, now I went to a church and lifting their hands and talking about Jesus. Then someone tells them, Jesus loves you. He said, how can Jesus love me? I've done everything to come against the kingdom of light. And how can you tell me Jesus loves you? That night he goes to sleep. Before he goes to sleep, he says, God, I don't know you. I hate you. I belong to the devil. I'm going to go to the devil till the day I die. I'm a Satanist. I'm involved in witchcraft. I hate you. He said, but if you're greater than the devil, show me tonight or leave me alone. That night, he had a dream. He dreams he's in a fast train. And he knows he's not going to a good place. There's a beautiful woman on the train. And she says to him, you're betraying us. She's talking in a devil tongue. He understands. You're betraying us. Then he gets out the train. It stops. There's the devil. Bigger. He said he knew he was in hell. He says there's such fear. Because you can't get out of hell. When you're in hell, there's no way to get out. He said he saw the devil. He was paralyzed with fear because he knew this was the end. And the devil said, John, I've been with you since you were 9 years of age. I've been your father. When your father died, I became your father. I've given you wealth. I've given you money. I've given you a woman. I've given you everything that you want all your life. And now you are betraying me. But I want you to know, John, you're never going to leave this place. You're going to stay here. And you're going to stay with me throughout eternity in this place called hell. And then the devil lunged at him. As the devil lunged at him, a 3-foot cross came out of nowhere. John grabbed the cross. When the devil saw the cross, he fell to the floor like a whipped puppy. No power. No power. No power. Like a baby. No power. But what I'm saying to you, family, if we don't start exercising our authority over the works of the devil that come into our life, he is going to rule and reign over us. We should rule and reign over him. So come on, family. We've got to start speaking God's word. We've got to be the army of Christ. We can't just let bad things happen to us. Oh, it's God's will. No, it's not God's will. Buckle up, saint. Put on your armor. Let's get moving. Let's get the army. Let's speak to our situations and let them go in Jesus' name. Amen. When you speak God's word, your marriage can be restored. Your family will come back together. Your business will prosper. Your dreams will become a reality. Your children and grandchildren will be healed and serve the Lord. Sickness will leave your home when you speak the word of God into your situation. In Jesus' name. It's time for us to take authority. It's time for us to grow up into the men and women that God has already destined you to be. We do this by speaking the word. So, you know, as Dr. David and Dr. Louise tell you about, they come to celebration every year. Well, in 2013, it was our turn to have our celebration in Johannesburg. It was September the 23rd. We had ministered all day. We went to bed. We got to bed at midnight because, like your pastors, we have dinners after ministry. We went to bed at midnight. At 4 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. How many of you know that no good thing happens at 4 o'clock in the morning? Who's going to phone you at 4 o'clock in the morning with good news? So I picked up the phone. I got out of the bed. I picked up the phone. I listened to the whole story my daughter was telling me. I kept my face emotionless. I never said one word. I took the phone to my husband and I said to him, you need to hear this. It was Candace, our daughter. She's married to Travis. She's a mother of Uriah and Troy, two boys. Troy was 4 months old. Candace told her dad everything she had told me. She said, Mom and Dad, it was in the evening and I was bathing my children and I was bathing Troy. And Troy, well, I was changing him on the dressing table, which is about 3.5 feet high. And she had a a cement floor. And she said when she turned around to get something, the little baby rolled off on the thing and hit his head on the cement floor, and she heard his skull crack open. Immediately, she took the baby and her husband to the ER to be examined. The doctor ordered an MRI, a scan, and it showed that he had fractured his skull. He was bleeding on the inside, and he was bleeding on the outside of the skull. The blood had started coming out of his skull and was coagulating under his skin to the size of a golf ball. She was 4 months old. Candace is calling us as now she was in the ambulance, because they had to rush him from that doctor in the ambulance to the university hospital where they could take care of him. So she said, "Mom and Dad, please pray. I'm going to teach you a great lesson. Listen up. Apostle Theo and myself shut everything out. We went quiet. Put the phone down. We went quiet. We looked into our spirits. Apostle Theo said, 'What now, Holy Spirit?' And right away, the Lord led him to a scripture. Say this with me. My victory will always come through a verse in the Bible. My victory will always come through a verse in the Bible. Numbers 14:28. This is a powerful verse. You want a verse you want to remember for the rest of your life. So it says, Numbers 14:28, say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my presence, so I will do to you.'" Pastor Thea and I meditated on it. We looked at the scripture. We had not prayed and we had not talked yet. And then Apostle Theo said, "Lord, why? Why did you give me this scripture?" And this is what God told him. He said, "Theo, I'm waiting to hear the first words that will come out of your mouth so I can act on them." God was waiting for Apostle Theo and I to speak. Imagine if I'd taken the phone, started screaming and shouting, "My son is retarded. My grandson's retarded. My grandson's got brain damage. My grandson, will he live? My grand..." Imagine if all those negative words of death came out of my mouth. Because Numbers 14:28 says God's waiting to hear the first words that come out of your mouth, because he's going to act on that. So sometimes our situations, we blame God, but it's our mouth. And so my husband and I, we shut the curtains in our bedroom and we were about to terrorize the devil. And we just talked and we held hands and we started praying. We started praying in tongues. We started praying in tongues. We started praying in tongues. We didn't pray karabashanda lianda 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 like that. If I'm in war, I'm going to go to battle and I'm going to make sure I'm going to be heard and I'm going to go into my war cry. I'm not going to be, you know, like drinking tea on a Sunday afternoon in the lounge. No. Now, we're in battle now. We're in war now. I got my armor on and I'm ready to take the devil out. Never mind on, out. He is going to go. So we started praying. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. Then we said this aloud together. "Satan, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off Troy. We command the life of God to flow into his brain and his skull in Jesus' name. We command health. We command healing to flow in the name of Jesus." According to Numbers 14:28, we declare in the presence of God that Troy is well. He's healed. God hears our declaration. And therefore, from this moment, we declare Troy is healed in Jesus' name. Oh, Rabba Shandala Yandala Baga. Oh, Shandala, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yandala Bashandala. Or 1 hour, Rabba Shidi Yandala Ba. 2 hours, Yandala Bashandala Bria. 3 hours, Yandala Bashandala Borabo. 4 hours, Yandala Bashandala Bora Baganda. Oh, la 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 Bashandala Baganda. Yandala Bashanda. After 4 hours comes joy. Concern goes, worries gone, joy unspeakable, full of glory in our heart. Oh, I couldn't wait to preach that day. I got up, got dressed, I'm going to church. So off we went to church. We prayed in tongues and worshiped for 4 hours. Just as we finished 4 hours, my daughter Natalie phoned, the oldest daughter from America. Mommy, mommy, have you heard about Troy? Please get the church to pray. Please get the church to pray. Just like before, Apostle Theo said, Holy Spirit, what now? The Holy Spirit gave Apostle Theo a verse. Mark 5:39. Jesus went inside and spoke to the people. Why all this weeping and commotion? He asked, the child isn't dead, she's only asleep. The crowd laughed at him, but he told them all to go outside. Then he took the girl's father and the mother with his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said, get up, little girl. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around, and her parents were overwhelmed. Jesus went to Jairus' house and told the unbelieving people to get out the room. Jesus had to take unbelief out the room. So Apostle Theo said, no, Natalie, we are not going to tell the congregation. Because you know, as much as we love the congregation, and you pastors will say amen to this, some will say, some will agree, some will be in faith, some will skinner, some will talk, some will say, oh, did you hear about the pastor's grandson? He might be dead. He might have brain damage. Have you heard? Well, let's just phone quickly, so-and-so. Wow, did you hear? No one using their faith. No one using their faith. When you face a crisis, don't phone every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You don't need every Tom, Dick, and Harry. All you need is 1, 2, 3 people who know how to operate in faith, stand in faith, and defeat the devil with you. So Apostle Theo said, no, we're going to slay this giant on our own. Here he says, if you talk about the mountain, it'll grow. But if you talk to the mountain, it will go. We didn't need people talking about the problem because we believed that the problem had disappeared. In the natural, we were in the supernatural because we now spoke the word of God. We expected God to be a miraculous God. We expected when we declared the word of God that God would act on his word. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that if he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. If he said it, you can say, God, you said this. I'm holding you to your word. And he will act on the word. And so we all came into agreement. And I went to church. It was my time to preach. It was a Tuesday morning, and I went to preach. The title of my message was, the giants will keep coming, but their heads will keep rolling. Wow. The giants will keep coming, but the sword of the Spirit will cut off their heads, and they will go rolling. And listen, family, I didn't preach to the congregation that day. I preached the devil that day. I just wanted him to know that I was in authority over him, that Jesus had defeated him at the cross. And Jesus went to hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and after 3 days rose again with victory. Glory to God. And now all authority belongs to me. All authority belongs to you. Now use the authority that God has given us. And so we went to church and we acted normal. We never told the pastors. We never told the congregation. We never told anyone. Do you know why? We acted as if the Bible was true. Because is the Bible just a book? Or is it the truth? Because if it's the truth, then we must have corresponding actions to our beliefs. We have to have corresponding actions. In other words, our actions must line up what the word says. When our actions line up what the word says, there's supernatural miracles take place. And so even though the doctors, when Candace took the baby to the doctors, even though The doctor said, there's nothing we can do for him. There's nothing. We'll just put him on a drip and we'll watch him. By Tuesday evening, we got no news. But we did not text Candace. Tell us what's going on. Because we didn't text her what's going on, because we already knew what was going on. See, something's got to happen in the supernatural realm before it manifests in the natural realm. So when we speak in the supernatural realm, the atmosphere shifts. Something takes place in the atmosphere. It's taking place in the atmosphere. We bring it down to earth. So I don't go this way up, I go this way down. You pull from the supernatural into the natural. So we said, no, everything is fine. We're not going to ask any questions. We just carried on preaching. That night, on Wednesday night, Candace phoned and said, Daddy, the neurologist came and looked at Troy and said, this child looks fine. They kept him one more night and then they monitored him and then they let him go home. But listen to this. This is important. Candace, my daughter, when she took the baby into the hospital and she saw the intensity of the situation, the doctors running around and everyone going frantic, the devil told her in her head, it's your fault. You neglected the baby. You shouldn't have turned around. It's your fault. You're a bad mother. Look what you've done to your child. The devil was bombarding her head with negative accusations of condemnation. But listen, the devil can put doubt in your head, but faith has got to come out your mouth. As long as you speak out your mouth, forget about what's going in your head. So the devil says it's your fault. The devil says it never turned around. The devil says your husband never served God. The devil says your wife will never have a baby. The devil can say whatever he wants because he's a father of lies. What I have to do is I have to open up my mouth and speak the word of God. It doesn't matter what he says in your head. It matters what comes out our mouths. And so she just kept on with faith, with doubt in her head, but her words of faith, she just kept on saying, Troy is healed in Jesus' name according to Numbers 14:28. So then eventually they discharged him, and 2 days later, Jesus had already miraculously healed Troy's cracked skull. It stopped bleeding and all the bruising went away. It took about 2 days. Wow. So I want to talk to you today for those of you who've been discouraged. I want to talk to you for those who have been downcast. I want to talk to you those who had a hit from the enemy. I want you to know that God wants to raise you up again, just like he rose up those bones that were dead, even though your dreams are dead, even though your heart has been hurt and you've been discouraged, even though the devil has given you a big whack. God wants to raise you up again. He wants to bring you to come to life. He wants your dreams to rise again. He wants your hopes to rise again. Everything that he's put in your heart, he wants to fulfill that in Jesus' name. He wants you to have hope again that he is a good God and that he wants to do a miracle for you today. And so he said, if you have been taken and been discouraged, wait up. It's your day. God is going to raise you up like the end time army. We can speak into our hopeless situation and we can see our health problems go away. We'll see our marriages come together again. You know, I don't know if I told you this last time, but did I tell you this, where I love this country western music, it's the saddest music you ever heard. Country western music is sad. I lost my horse. I lost my cowgirl. I lost my truck. I lost my mother. I lost my girlfriend. I lost my boots. Everything is sad, sad, sad. But when you come born again, everything comes back. I get my marriage back. I get my house back. I get my truck back. I get my marriage. I get my health. Everything comes back again. I get healing. I get wealth. I get wisdom. I get help. I have God's wisdom. I know what to do. Everything comes back. Everything the devil has stolen from you comes back in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's time for us to declare the word of God. Stand on your feet. We're going to declare the word of God. Let's say this together. I decree and declare. I am well. I decree. I declare. I have a happy family.
I decree.
I declare.
My family
serves the Lord.
I decree.
I'm blessed.
I have favor.
I fulfill
God's plan for my life.
God is on my side.
If God is for me,
who can be against me?
In the heat of the battle,
I'm more than a conqueror
through him who loved me.
Because victory
in every battle
in my future
has already
been paid for
in Christ Jesus.
I am victorious.
I'm an overcomer
because greater
is he that is in me
than he that lives in the world.
I decree
I cannot fail.
I decree
I turn back
every negative arrow
that is against me.
I send them back
into the enemy's camp
in Jesus' name.
I decree,
I declare,
I am triumphant
in every season of my life.
In Jesus' name,
no weapon
formed against me,
against my children,
against my finances,
against my marriage,
against my business,
against everything
prospers
in Jesus' name.
I quench
every fiery dart
of the wicked one.
And I declare,
I'm victorious.
I'm overcomer.
I'm the head and not the tail.
In Jesus' name.
Give the Lord praise.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's go ahead and give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Can we just celebrate Jesus? Can we just celebrate Jesus? Celebrate the goodness of God. Just say, God, I thank you for the victory. I thank you for the success. I thank you for giving me victory, for making my way successful. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us?
What happens is when you're in the house, you know, you're enjoying the grace that is in the house. When you serve God, you're doing it because you love God. I'm telling you that the blessings will always remain with you.
Let your light shine in the darkest parts. Let your love fill the world.
Wow, what a great message it was. Join me next time, even as we continue to hear what God is saying in our next podcast. Or you can also visit us in our website, www.cfcpolokwane.co.za. God richly bless you.